You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Are you worried about winter? All new and pre-owned vehicles include winter tire packages, tire wheel sensors, storage, and much more. They want everyone to get home safely. Learn more at Lakewood Chev. Check them out on the south side, just off 91st Street. Paul Skrbina from the Chicago Tribune, beat reporter for the Chicago Blackhawks, joins us. Paul, welcome to the show. And I think it's interesting looking at the Blackhawks this season. I doubt many, especially after the first few games, but even at the start of the season, felt like a lack of offense would be a problem. But there was a run where I think it was seven or eight of the top nine Hawks forwards had like scored a grand total of four goals in like over 10 games. Like they just, the entire offense outside of Patrick Kane had really dried up.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a surprise here too. But, you know, I mean, I think that's just because, you know, there's regular ebbs and flows of every season. But I think, you know, because they're so extreme at the beginning of the season and so extreme, you know, I think the first five or six games are so extreme and then so extreme the other way, you know, for seven or eight or nine, ten games after that, I think it's magnified a little bit. But, yeah, you're right. They, you know, they've struggled, I think, finding the right line combinations thank goodness for their sake for Corey Crawford and how good he's been, because you know he's kept them afloat in a bunched up division, much like all the other divisions in hockey this year.
Corey Crawford, the goalie that I've argued for a long time, maybe never got the respect he deserves around the NHL. When the Hawks were winning cups, you had Kane and Taves and Keith, and those guys were getting all the accolades, and some felt that Corey Crawford just kind of there for the ride, and I never really bought that. And obviously, this season he's earning his contract more than ever. Is it major defensive breakdowns from the D-men, the forwards? What's causing Corey Crawford to have to be out of this world good for the Blackhawks so far?
Well, I think one of the bigger things is the struggles of Brent Seabrook, which aren't limited to this year. I know last year he struggled. Last night he played, I think, a season low, like 14 minutes or something like that. You know, and it's taken Joel Quenneville a while to kind of accept the fact that maybe Seabrook isn't the player that he had been, or isn't producing like he had been, and you know, therefore is reducing his ice time. Cody Franson's been really, really good on his defensive line, and I think now the Hawks are starting to find a formula. I know they lost last night in Nashville, but they're starting to find a formula, I think, that works for them. And, you know, at least defensively. But, yeah, Crawford has been, you know, I agree with you 100%. I mean, you know, here's a guy who just won, you know, helped him win two Stanley Cups. And, you know, every time he has a quote-unquote bad game, everybody wants to get rid of him. And he's been nothing but consistent for them, you know, for his whole career there. So I don't get the Corey Crawford, you know, hate, if you will. But, I mean, he's definitely, you know, one of the top 10 goalies in the NHL over the last 6 or 7 years, collectively.
Just stick with the back end for a minute. You know, one of the two guys that played together quite a bit, kind of on that third pairing, it seems, are Forsling and Ruta. How are these two guys gelling, and are they getting the job done in that third pair?
I think they are. I mean, I think they give the Blackhawks something, surprisingly, you know, despite their offensive woes, gives them some depth, you know, at the back of their defense, because I know for a while, you know, when they were winning cups, they were relying so much on two lines, you know, which is a dangerous way to go. But when you have Duncan Keith, who's kind of not human and robotic, you can do that. And Seabrook is playing really well. But once Seabrook started to struggle, that presented a lot of problems because they're so dependent on, you know, on one or two lines, you know, to carry so much of the load. And this year, I think, with Ruta and Forsling, you know, they have some guys who not only, you know, are good defensively, but also – I think, you know, are capable of contributing offensively too, which, you know, is also important for the Hawks' success.
Young Alex DeBrincat scored his first NHL hat trick this week, and, you know, he's now second on the Hawks in points with 18 in 24 games, a smaller forward who all he did was score points in Erie, and some people thought it was only McDavid till after McDavid left, and all he did was score 100 points again. I don't know if the Hawks expected him to be this good right away, but, man, he has to be the massive surprise for the Hawks, and he keeps playing like this. He's a guy that's working himself already right into the Calder Trophy candidate.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of debate here about whether or not he should he should not be playing on that third line, whether he should be playing up with, you know, on the first or second line. And, you know, I think Quenneville's, there's been some comparisons drawn here unfairly to DeBrinket, but, you know, some comparisons in terms of, you know, offensive capability and size to Patrick, the young Patrick Kane, which I think is, you know, kind of insane to compare anybody, you know, to that kind of, that kind of lofty status. But, you know, DeBrinket's been, he's provided sparks at times when they've needed him to. And I think, you know, that Quenneville's a guy who, you know, it's all or nothing with young players with him. But DeBrinket's also another guy, you know, Quenneville's got a reputation of trusting young guys, although, you know, he has with Taves and Kane, but those are exceptions to the rule. But I think DeBrinket's a guy who can, you know, be that big, you know, big goal scorer. And I kind of like him, to be honest with you, on that third line, because, you know, that adds some depth to, you know, to the offense that a lot of teams don't have. And I'm not sure that if he's going against the other team's top guys, that his numbers are what they are. So it's always hard to tell, but he certainly has risen above expectations so far. And they always seem to find those guys, you know, when they reload, you know, after they, I know they found Saad and they found, you know, a few other guys, Vermette, you know, guys like that who come in and guys are like, where did this guy come from? You know, so, but yeah, he's definitely been, and he's grown comfortable too in his role, for a guy who out of training camp, they weren't even sure, you know, what that role would be or if he would even make the team.
Jonathan Toews has taken some criticism or been under the gun in the last, you know, it's called 18 months, about maybe the game getting away from him a little bit as far as where it's going with its speed. Have you seen a resurgent in his ability to get around the ice, you know, with some quickness and authority?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, the game is changing so fast, and I'm by no means, I mean, you know, you guys are probably way more experts than I am, but from my observations, even over the last 4 or 5 years, again, you know, the Blackhawks were so far ahead of the curve, and now the curve is starting to catch up to them. And now, you know, a lot of other teams have, you know, players comparable to Taves. And I think, you know, he's getting older. He's not old, but, you know, he's certainly, again, another guy. You know, I think we like to measure everything on the ice, which is, you know, a fair way to do it. But when you, you know, as you guys probably know, when you're around teams, and I've covered a lot of different sports, you see guys who, regardless of their numbers, you see the value that they have, you know, away from the ice too. He's a guy who's been able to provide both for a long time for the Hawks. And when the numbers aren't quite there, you know, people don't see the other things that I know don't matter in the end to, you know, the average fan. But, you know, he's a guy who, you know, is just, you know, you couldn't ask for a better quote-unquote teammate. I mean, no, you know, every guy in that locker room respects him. Every guy in that locker room looks up to him. And he's happy to shoulder that responsibility. And his numbers now this year, yes, are getting a little bit better. And I think that a lot of that has to do with who he's playing with, too. You know, it's as you know, hockey can be fickle when it comes to that. And Quenneville likes to you know, throw the lines in the blender, as they say. But, you know, he's a guy who seems comfortable playing with certain guys, and you know, he's more productive when he has that consistency, I think.
Ryan Hartman opened the season with 5 points, and people were thinking, okay, now obviously that wasn't going to come close to repeating, but his offense has really kind of gone away since those first few games. What's kind of suddenly gone away from Hartman?
I just think, you know, again, it's the you know, the ebbs and flows of a regular season. You can say the same thing about Richard Panik, who's, you know, whose offense has also disappeared of late. But the whole team, really, with the exception of the last 5 or 6 games, but for, you know, 8 or 9 game stretch before that, nobody was doing anything. And I think if you look across the league, you'll see most every team is gonna go through that. And you know, it's hard to pin it on one player or one reason, or is there a magic formula? Because if there was, you know, coaches would pay a lot of money to have those answers, and players too. But I think it's just, you know, again, I don't think it's a reflection on Hartman's ability or Panic's ability. I just think it's more of, you know, that's the way a season goes. It's a long season, and you're not going to always be at your best, you know, and there's a lot of luck involved too. So, and I was actually talking with Patrick Scherf about that the other day, because he was a guy who started off pretty strongly, you know, the first five games, and then went 16 games without a point. And, you know, but the last four or five games, he's knocking on the door, and then the last two games, he's, you know, had a couple assists. So I think it's just, you know, these guys feel like it's just a matter of time. And they also realize, too, that the competition around them has gotten a lot better over the last two or three years.
What about as far as Artem Anisimov? I mean, this guy, he's got 11 goals. I don't know that was predicted. He leads the team, I believe. You know, is he just taking that role on, or is he kind of getting lucky?
I don't think it's luck. I think some of it is just, it's his mustache. No, I think it's, you know, he's a guy, again, who puts himself in the right places. And, you know, again, a lot of it has to do with who he's playing with. And yeah, there's some lucky bounces here or there. But I think, you know, he's a solid guy who I don't think by the end of the season is going to lead them in goals. But I think, you know, he could be a reliable, you know, pretty consistent scorer for them because of the way their lines are set up and the way he, you know, he gets in there and I guess what they, I hate the cliches, but he gets in there in those dirty areas and you know, stands and gets in front of the net and you know, pushes guys around and you know, is able to you know, be kind of be a magnet for the puck and you know, yeah, some of it luck, yeah, but a lot of it is putting yourself in a position to be lucky, I think. So, yeah, I think he's, you know, again, been a pleasant surprise and an offensive spark that they desperately needed because, you know, if anybody would have told you, you know, this far into the season that he would be their leading scorer, they probably would tell you you were drunk. But, you know, again, it's still very early, too.
Well, definitely as early in that division, though, you can't really take your foot off the pedal. It is going to be a huge race. Looks like pretty good chance you'll have five teams from that division making the playoffs this year.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. Like the Predators, I think they've won eight of their last nine or something like that, and they hardly gained any ground. They're, you know, third place. Because, you know, St. Louis and Winnipeg are seemingly not losing either, and, you know, Hawks play Dallas tomorrow, and you know it's you know they're I think they're tied 27 points apiece. It's just I think it's grouped up like that in most divisions. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's you know it's been a crazy like every team's a playoff team. It seems like this year.
Yeah, and you got Minnesota who is 2 points back with games in hand, and even Colorado this season has been a big surprise, over 500 so far this year. So it's definitely a tough division. It'll be interesting to see how things play out. I really appreciate your time, Paul. Have a great day.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.